Once long ago, four friends sat by a fire, talking about the things they wished and the things they were afraid of. And as they spoke, one of them had an idea and the other said no, but then they said yes. You know, sometimes ideas just stick like that. And the idea was this. They would go north, far north, farther than anyone they knew had ever been. And they would find Nanabush, who was a mighty magician and a friend of the Ojibwe people. And they would ask him to grant their wishes. And so they got their birch bark canoes ready. They packed what they could, ready to hunt along the way. And the next day they set off in their canoes, traveling north. And they paddled a long, long time. They paddled through the spring and into the summer. And finally it seemed to them that maybe they weren't going to make it. Maybe they would have to turn around before it got too late. And they were trapped in the north, in the ice and the snow. But that very next day, they woke up to the sounds of drums. And the drums were in the distance, but they were familiar. They were beating rhythms that they knew in their heart, that they knew by heart, for they had always been part of their lives. And they were sure that those drums were played by Nanabush. So that day they paddled with new strength, and that night they went to sleep, sure that they would soon find the magician and dreaming of having their wishes come true. The next morning they paddled, and after a while they began to hear not just the drums, but the voice of Nanabush calling, "Come, my children, come to me. Soon you will arrive." And indeed, not before long, they came around a bend in the river, and they saw a clearing. And in the center of the clearing was a wigwam that was so huge it could only belong to Nanabush, who was a giant. They pulled their canoes up to the shore, and as they did, they saw Nanabush come out of the wigwam, and beside him there was a very beautiful young woman. The men rushed up, and then they began to tell stories all at the same time about their long journey to the north. After a while, Nanabush stopped them and said, "You must be hungry, you must be tired after so many adventures. Come into my lodge and rest. My granddaughter will cook for us." They all went inside, and the young woman picked up a very small pot made of clay. And into it she put just a few pieces of meat, a few berries. The hunters looked at the small pot hanging over the big fire. They looked at each other. Was the young woman crazy? Such a small amount would hardly be enough to feed her. It would never be enough to feed four hungry warriors and the magician Nanabush. But when dinner time came, the young woman reached into the pot, and she brought out enough food to fill five birch bark plates. Nanabush threw back his head and laughed at the looks on his visitors' faces. When he stopped laughing, he said, "This is my magic cooking pot. It always cooks more food than we could ever eat. Eat now, and when you are full, I would like to know why you have traveled so far to find me." So the warriors ate and laughed and chatted with Nanabush, and when dinner was finished, one of the warriors began. He said, "I am a mighty warrior, and I have protected my people from many enemies. But I have also watched many of my friends fall in battle. I would like to go into battle and know I would never be killed by another's weapon." Nanabush thought for a moment, and he made this promise: "As long as you think of me in battle, You will never be killed, but you must promise me something in return. You must never kill a person who has no weapon of his own." Another man spoke. He said, "I am a very good hunter, but I know that even the best hunters have difficulty finding food in winter. I would like to be able to call the animals to come to me, and then I would know that my people would always have enough food to get them through the winter." Nanabush was pleased. This was a good wish, a wish that could help many of his people. "You will have your wish," said Nanabush, "but in return you must promise me you will hunt only when you need food. You must never kill animals, just to show how good you are with your bow and arrow." Now it was time for the third man to speak. He said, "I am a good fighter and a good hunter. I'm not afraid of dying in battle or of going hungry, but I am afraid of living my life alone. I would like a wife who loved me even though I'm not handsome." Nanabush looked at his granddaughter, and she was looking at the man. He wasn't very good looking, but she thought he looked kind. Nanabush spoke to the man. "My granddaughter will be your wife, if you can prove you deserve her. You may take her back to your village with you, but you must not say a single word to her until you reach the village. If you do, she will come back to me." And Nanabush turned to the fourth man. "I've made your friend's wishes come true," he said. "Now it is your turn." The man looked at Nanabush. "I do not want to die," he said. "Not ever. Can you make me live forever?" Nanabush looked very angry. It was not right for the man to wish to live forever. "This is a wicked wish," he said. "It would be better if you had asked for anything else. But I have a way to make this wish come true. Come with me." And the men went outside the lodge and stood in the center of the open space. Nanabush walked over and touched the man on his shoulder. All at once, the man grew stiff. He looked as though he were carved out of stone. As his three friends watched in amazement, he started to grow. He grew until he was even bigger than Nanabush. He grew until he was as tall as the tallest pine tree. And when the growing stopped, his friends moved closer. The man had turned into a huge rock. Only the shape of the rock hinted it had once been a living person. The next morning, the three men and the young woman left on their long voyage south. Day after day they paddled, and finally they were very near to the village. The man who wanted a wife was very excited. He was so excited when he saw the village, he forgot his promise to Nanabush. "See your new home," he said to the young woman, and with his words, she vanished. For many years, the people in the village gathered together to tell the stories of Nanabush and the four friends who had traveled to his new home. The stories helped them remember the wise things Nanabush had taught them. They knew they must not kill unarmed people. They knew they must kill animals only when they needed to eat to stay alive. And they knew that men should never wish to live forever. Now, we have a place where we make wishes, don't we? It's our garden. And when we go to our garden, whatever we wish appears for us. But in our gardens, all of our wishes are good wishes. So let's begin to take a deep breath, to relax a little, and to imagine ourselves in that field of wildflowers under that bright blue sky, walking the path towards the woods. And then when we get there, walking into the woods, finding the path, hearing the chipmunks and squirrels playing in the trees, the birds above them, and walking until we come to that big old tree with all those low-hanging branches, those branches covered with bags and backpacks. For this tree is the trouble tree, and people come and leave their troubles, and the tree will hold them all. So whatever troubles you are carrying, take them now and put them on a branch. And then notice how much lighter and stronger you feel. Almost like the men when they realized that Nanabush was just up ahead. And you keep walking until you come to the gate. It is your gate into your garden. And you can notice, is it made of wood or stone or metal? Is it tall or low? How do you open it? And I want you to reach out and open the gate and walk in, close it carefully behind you, and find yourself in the garden. And the grass is green and soft, and the plants are beautiful and bright, and the sky is blue, and the garden holds whatever you want it to hold. And so I want you to take just one wish that you are very sure is a good wish. And I want you to make it come true. You can play with whoever you want to play with. You can go wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do, because in your garden, everything you choose is safe. So find that thing that you've really been missing and find a way to do it now. Go where you need to go in the garden. Find what you need. Find who you need. And begin to simply enjoy this time. And put all your energy and all your imagination into making this wish come true, as real and vivid and exciting as real life. So that you feel your muscles moving and stretching. You hear the sound of voices and the sound of movement and the sound of the animals. And you see the bright colors of your garden. And just have some time. When your wish can be real, when what you want is what you can do, and just know you are safe. And so you can have fun. And as you play, you might change what you're doing. You might explore a new part of your garden. You might even make a new friend. Doing the thing that you wanted to do most. And then you're going to look up and you're going to notice that the sky is different. It's starting to get a little bit pink. Starting to get a little bit late, and it's time for you to go home. So you might have to say goodbye to your friends, knowing that they will be in the garden whenever you want to meet them. And you might have to walk to your gate and turn around and say goodbye to your garden, thanking it for giving you such a lovely wish, thanking it for waiting for you until you come back. And open the gate and close it carefully behind you. And begin to walk through the woods and out of the woods and all the way back to now.